Offside. Evropsko oboroževalno poletje. Finančni ministri držav članic Evropske unije so na včerajšnjem zasedanju Sveta Evropske unije 15 članicam, med njimi tudi Sloveniji, odobrili uporabo tako imenovane nacionalne odstopne klauzule. Ta omogoča, da lahko država v izrednih okoliščinah odstopa od evropskih fiskalnih pravil. V tem primeru se bodo lahko izbrane države, med drugim Portugalska, Grčija, Slovenija, Poljska ter baltske države, za obrambo v naslednjih 4 letih zadolžile za dodatnega 1,5 odstotka bruto domačega proizvoda, krajše BDP. Glavno evropsko fiskalno pravilo veleva, da se države članice ne smejo zadolžiti za več kot 3 odstotke BDP-ja. Ozadje, zakaj v Evropski uniji velja opisano fiskalno pravilo, razloži Matijas Goldman, profesor finančnega prava na Goethejevi univerzi v Frankfurtu.
So the Stability and Growth Pact is an essential component of monetary union. If you enter into a monetary union, a currency union like the Eurozone, then the problem is that countries don't really have their own exchange rate anymore, and they don't have their own interest rate. There's just one common exchange rate and one common interest rate. And what's the problem with that? Well, you know, if your economic situation is bad, but the situation in the other countries of your currency union is good, then it's very difficult for you to get back on your legs because you can't simply devalue your currency, or your currency won't lose in value, and so you won't regain competitiveness through exchange rate. And you cannot change your interest rate individually as you need it because there's just one interest rate. So you can't get back on your legs so easily. And for that reason, it's very important that countries in a currency union develop economically, I would say, in the same path or along a similar path, so that there is not a crisis in an individual country as opposed to the rest. And that also covers government expenditure and government debts, because many crises and also, you know, broader economic crises stem from and affect government finances. So, you know, if a government has a funding problem, then it's tied to the exchange rate and the interest rates that apply throughout the union. And so you want to prevent a crisis of government finances. And for that, you've got limits. First of all, for the overall deficit that a country might incur, and you've got limits for the annual budget deficit. Having said that, the numbers for these deficit limits are quite arbitrary. Yeah, there's not so much economic wisdom behind them as you may want to wish. It's more based on estimates or on actually political convenience.
Ko se ozremo na zemljevid držav članic, ki jim je Svet Evropske unije odobril nacionalno odstopno klauzulo, hitro vidimo, da gre večinoma za države na vzhodu Evropske unije, kot so Poljska in baltske države, ter periferne države, na primer Grčija in Portugalska. Pri tem se pojavi vprašanje, po kakšnem ključu so državam omogočili odstopanja. Grčija in Portugalska imata v okolici precej manj varnostnih tveganj kot na primer baltske države. Odgovarja Goldman.
There is now an exception, a so-called national escape clause that has been activated for 15 countries, as you said. And first of all, the purpose of these escape clauses is to allow countries some spending, some exceptional spending where it is needed or where it is believed to be necessary. As I said before, there's not so much magic in the 3% budget deficit rule and in the 60% overall debt thresholds that you could not make these exceptions, but still you have to somehow keep that at bay, and these exceptions cannot transform the system so that there is no absolute control. Still, I think it's very much possible within such a framework to make exceptions where it is justified. And why is it deemed justified now? Well, the reason is increased defense spending. The entire NATO membership countries need to go up to, you know, the 5% goal that was agreed politically, at least at the last NATO summit. And of course, that is a challenge for countries which have already a strained budgetary situation. And that's basically the 15 countries that have been chosen here.
Evropska unija se na ponovno oboroževanje pripravlja vsaj dobra 3 leta, saj lahko začetke postavimo v februar 2022, ko je Rusija napadla Ukrajino. Vendar od takrat razen pošiljanja pomoči Ukrajini konkretnejših večanj izdatkov za vojsko ni bilo. Sprememba je prišla z nastopom drugega mandata predsednika Združenih držav Amerike Donalda Trumpa, ki je bil od začetka mandata oster kritik po njegovem mnenju nizke evropske porabe na vojaškem področju. Prvi večji ukrep na tem področju na ravni Evropske unije, tako imenovani načrt za ponovno oborožitev Evrope, je Evropska komisija predstavila marca letos. Ta predvideva, da bi lahko države članice za potrebe ponovne oborožitve Evrope porabile do 800 milijard evrov. To je po besedah predsednice Evropske komisije Ursule von der Leyen predvsem kupovanje protizračnih in protiraketnih sistemov, letalnikov, raket in topništva. V načrtu je bila predvidena tudi nacionalna odstopna klauzula. Kako bo načrt deloval, razloži Aleksander Burilkov, raziskovalec z centra Globsec Geotech.
So it will work a little bit like the cohesion funds, in that it is spending that the member states can request, and it's spending that the member states can then use only for rearmament, let's say. So for instance, one recent example is that based on the argument for military mobility, Italy is thinking about using something like 14 billion from that to build a bridge between Sicily and mainland Italy, which has been a project that the Italians have been trying to find a way to do for a very long time. More directly, it would be the construction of new military factories, spending on procurement. So basically on buying weapon systems. This is a major part of the plan, especially when it comes to things like air and missile defense, which is an area where Europe has serious capability gaps and serious limits. And so it would work much in that aspect.
Kot je nakazal Burilkov, se sredstev iz načrta za ponovno oborožitev Evrope ne bo dalo uporabiti kot v primeru odstotkov BDP-ja za NATO pakt, kjer se da razne projekte zamaskirati v obrambni oziroma strateški proračun. Kako bo Evropska unija preverjala, da gre dodatnih 1,5 odstotka zadolževanja res v vojaške namene, razloži Goldman.
In a budget, you know, what goes in through the left pocket can easily come out at the right side and through the right pocket. So it's all one budget, and how can you control for that? But I mean, you know, if you look at the development of the budget, then you can easily, and that's what the EU is doing. You know, when member states submit their medium-term financial frameworks, and when member states submit their budgets in the course of the European semester, then what the European Commission can do is they compare the different budgets. Yeah, and there you see what's been the change from last year to this year. And that will easily tell you what amount of additional debt is justified under this national escape clause. Yeah. So, of course, one can always ask whether they should make some cuts elsewhere. But here, you know, it just by comparing shifts in the defense budget from one year to another, you get a relatively good impression of how they increase their defense spending.
Pri vsem tem se po mnenju Burilkova pojavljata dva problema. Prvi zadeva produkcijske zmožnosti Evropske unije na vojaškem področju, drugi pa ločenost vojsk držav članic, ki zaenkrat še delujejo pod ločenimi poveljstvi.
The success of this plan of rearming Europe, it has two really significant ways that it could not succeed fully. One is that money is good, but you can print euros, you can't print tanks and artillery. So translating the money into actual production and actual creation of new military units is more important than the money itself. So we'll have to really see how that works and if it works in the coming years. And the second thing is that Europe, the EU, 27 member states, 27 national militaries, this is, of course, from the perspective of unified control and command, not entirely ideal. So just as when it comes to production, spending on the plan should also come with finding ways to make European militaries work together with each other, rather than just building them in isolation from each other.
Vsako državno trošenje državnega denarja načeloma do neke mere pomeni spodbujanje gospodarstva. Tudi pri vlaganjih v oboroževanje lahko govorimo o dobesednem trošenju, saj ima to za gospodarstvo najmanj blagodejnih učinkov. Več Goldman.
So that's the question of the fiscal multiplier. Now, unfortunately, what we know is that military spending is not very effective in terms of economic benefits. You've got a multiplier of just one. That means that every euro that you spend on defense will produce a revenue of another euro. So that means it's just, you know, a zero-sum game. Just by comparison, there is other spending forms that are much more efficient. So, industrial subsidies. There's a wide variety of returns. But some people say that an average is somewhere in the range of 3 euros for every euro spent. So 3 euros return. And if we look at research and development, it's even larger. There, it's 7 euros. So every euro that you spend. It creates a return of 7 euros. So it's not a very efficient way of spending, and one should not do military spending or choose military spending as a means to improve economic conditions. It's not worth that. It's not worth it. That there's much more effective ways in which you can spend your public money. One should really spend it for defense purposes because it's needed for defense. And of course, that raises the question, is the 5% number really one that's right? And do we need as much defense spending as that? We know it's a little bit a political figure, and it's not really that someone has done the math before. It's rather that now we're trying to do an ex post rationalization. Nevertheless, what of course might increase the return a little bit is just the fact that there is some dual use investments included in the notion of defense spending, at least as NATO defines it. And so maybe if we're lucky, we get to a little bit more than the 1 euro.
Potem, ko se je evropska oboroževalna pomlad začela z najavo ponovne oborožitve Evrope, se temperature s poletjem višajo in napovedi, na žalost, počasi izpolnjujejo. Bomo videli, kaj bo prinesla zima. V jarku noče umreti, Tilen.
Radio Študent 89,3.